Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I love this story because this is where actually Samuel goes to anoint David, the prophet Samuel. And Saul was the king at that time, and actually he was rejected as king. And now God tells Samuel in verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long would you mourn for Saul? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel." And God tells Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, to the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage, Lord. Thank you for the life of David that we can learn. Lord, just ask you to help us understand your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here we have David. Okay, so he's in the pastures. He's basically tending the sheep of his father. He was the youngest one. Just like, you know, all your kids in here, Brooke is the oldest one, right? And so if we go all the way to verse 8, we're going to be able to see who was the oldest. So he goes, Samuel, he goes to the house of Jesse, the father of David, and God told actually Samuel to take a heifer with you and say, "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." That's kind of funny because it says when Samuel did what the Lord told him, and it says in verse 4, "So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, 'Do you come peaceably?'" It is amazing how a prophet can go to a town and the elders are like, "Is he coming in peace? Or is he going to bring judgment on us?" You know? Because at that time when God goes there, he's speaking. That's God's word. You know? And sometimes that's what you see. Some of the priests, sometimes they have a collar because they're supposed to be the word of God, basically. Anymore, it's been watered down. You know what I'm saying? They're not preaching the word of God. They're preaching something else. But in here, Samuel is actually going into this area to basically speak for God. And he goes into the house of Jesse. And he goes, the oldest one. You see, look what happens. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." So basically, this guy is like tall, very strong, maybe handsome. And Samuel says, "Yeah, that's the guy. I recognize him right now." And God says, look what God says. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" So what does that mean to us? We can be strong. You can go to the gym and exercise and have those abs and big muscles. Does God look at that? What does he look at? Yes. At the inside, the heart. You see what I'm saying? So here is all these brothers, right? They line up. They line up. And God says, "Nope. Line up. Nope. Nope. 7 of them." And Samuel says, "What's going on?" And he says, "Do you have another one?" "Ah, yes, David. And he's in the field tending the sheep, the lambs." And Samuel says, "Go and get him." So here comes David, right? Because it says in the beginning, prepare yourselves, purify yourself. So that means that David maybe had to take a shower. Maybe have to change clothes. You know what I'm saying? Because they did a sacrifice. So all those details didn't tell us a thing, but it had to happen. Cone his hair probably. You know? Now Samuel comes, he pours the oil, and it comes out on David. You see what I'm saying? So he's the anointed one. The king of Israel. Now, I will say he's like a couple more years older than Jesse here. So I was thinking maybe around 14 probably. But if you go to Samuel chapter 17, look what David already done. Remember the story of Goliath? Now David is going. His father tells him, okay, take some cheese, take some bread, take some dry fruits to your brothers because they are in battle, okay? But the Philistines were the enemy of Israel, and they were actually coming, and they're going to attack Israel. Now, here is this guy. This guy, Goliath, is 9'6", approximately. Now, Mike is pretty tall. Imagine 9'6". Now, it's actually, I was doing some research about the his armory. So Goliath, actually, sword weighed 600 shekels. Just the sword. He had a helmet, right? His helmet is about 70 pounds. Right? His sword is about 17 pounds. A normal sword is about 2.5 to 4. So you can move it. Not his. 17 pounds. He also had a body armor. But it has like a little, it's like scales made out of steel. It's like 147 pounds to 170 pounds. That's how much they say it weighs. To protect all from the head, it's all steel. Okay? So the armor goes here and covers his neck. And his mouth, the helmet protects all his face. And then the armor protects all his body. And then in here, he also has what you call that protects his feet. So he has the shield that protects all his heels and his legs. So he was well protected. So no sword is going to get him. So now he's actually coming against David, okay? Now David just, his spear. He had a spear that's about 2.5 inches in diameter. I don't think I can even lift it up. That was his spear. And he has somebody to carry his shield. It's all that he's carrying. So here's this giant. And here's little Jesse. You see the difference? So now, David is going to feed the brothers, right? And he leaves the food with the people that all the families take food. This is for the Jesse family, okay? Now, and they bring the food there. He leaves the food there, and he runs to say hi to his brothers. And his brothers get a little upset. Why are you here? I know you're hard. You just come here to see the war, and you know. And then he hears this guy taunting. He's telling, cursing the Israelites about their gods. He goes, send me one person, and I'll fight him. And everybody's running. And David says, who is that guy? And he says, Goliath. And he goes, what do I get if I kill him? And they're laughing at him. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, so he kept asking people, and then got to the ears of Saul. And Saul says, okay, you want to do it? Let's put an armor on you. They put this armor right on David, right? And then David can't move. And this is just a regular armor. You know what I'm saying? David can't move. But before that, David says in verse 17 that he fought a bear and a lion. Now this bear and a lion used to come and eat or at least devour the lambs. Okay? And he says, I killed them one by one. And actually in the original says, maybe even together. That were coming, one bear here and a lion at the same time, they wanted to eat the lamb. And he goes, I killed them both with my own hand. It was very specific that I pulled his beard and I killed him. I see a lion in the zoo and I stay away from them. And a bear. I heard when I went to Alaska, we went to see the bears there, and they tell you if you are basically confronted by a bear, do not run. It says, if you have a jacket, put it above you, or get two sticks and make it bigger. So he looks like you, and he thinks that the animal is bigger than me, and he goes away. Or make a lot of noise, and he will go away. But if you run, you're dead meat. And if you fall on the ground, playing dead, he will stay there until you move. As soon as you move, he'll smack you. Imagine trying to lay down there without moving. It's almost impossible. You climb a tree, here comes a tree. So you can't escape. David killed this bear. Now how he goes right now. So now, David says, nope, took all his armor out. And he went and he chose 5 stones. Nice round near the brook because they were in the valley. The Philistines were here, the Israelites were here, so they were in the valley. Now they were coming. And Goliath, again, he was cursing the Israelites with his gods, you know. And here goes David. He had his staff, and he had his little slingshot. And Goliath says, am I a dog? You're going to come and beat me with a stick? And David says, no, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Now, remember all of that armor that he had. The only spot that Goliath had was in his forehead and where his eyes were. That's the only spot that he had open. That's it. That's it. So that stone has to be extremely perfect. It has to be directed right to his forehead. Imagine doing that. But I want you to think about something. What do you think David was doing while he was tending the sheep? You think he was just following his nails? David was training every day. Every day. Every day. The Bible tells us that there were 700 men with a slingshot. They can actually cut a hair thin as a hair and not miss. 700 men. But God did not choose any of those 700 men. He chose David. Because of why? The heart. See what I'm saying? And he brings his lot, he just shoots that stone right on the forehead of Goliath. And Goliath falls down. It was so devastating that the dust just came. You can see the dust on itself. And then he takes Goliath's own sword, lifts it with both hands, and tries to chop his head, and he chops his head. Have you guys heard about a guy called Juan Rodriguez, or is called Chichi Rodriguez, the golfer? Chichi Rodriguez. Chichi Rodriguez was 9 years old. He used to work in the sugarcane farms. At 9, he was making $1 a day. The farm was next to a golf course where all the rich used to go play golf. And he used to watch them all the time, watch them all the time. He came from a very poor family. And so he says, I love golf. So he made his own golf club out of a guava tree. And he crushed metal to make the ball. And every day he used to practice. Every day he used to practice hitting that ball, hitting that can. Every day. At the age of 12, he loved it so much that somebody gave him a chance to work at the golf course as a caddy to carry the people's. In those days, a caddy was to carry the bag of the golfers. Today, caddies, they have to know more than the golfing than that, you know? But that was what he's doing. And he was getting pretty good money, more than a dollar, you know? At the age of 12, he was actually hitting the ball pretty good. And they continued to train him, train him, train him. At the end of his age, I did a statistic about him. He actually, he became a world golf Hall of Fame in 1992. 22 PGA Tour champions. How many jackets did he get? Now, at the age of 9. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to be prepared for how God is going to use us. Have you heard about another guy, the New York Yankees closer? You heard Martinez? He actually, Mariano Rivera. He came from another poor country, Panama. Okay? Mariano Rivera didn't have a baseball to play with. If we find a beat up one sometimes. Sometimes they just find the cover of the baseball. So what he used to do, he used to get like tires or cardboard and fishing net from the area. His dad was a fisherman, you know. And he used to just roll the fishing net into this cardboard or sometimes he said even stones to make it go faster. And he used to make his own baseball balls because he couldn't buy it. And he would hang a used tire with a string. And every day he would practice and put the ball through the tire. Every day he would practice. He would practice every day. And every day he was accurate. He would point to the left, to the right, to the bottom, to the top, to the center. He would just continue to do that. One day, he became the closer of the New York Yankees. That everybody almost struck out every time they went to the plate. When you knew him coming to the plate, you were out basically. That's how he was. So the whole point of all of this, as children, you know, God is going to look at your heart. Okay? Let us not be concerned with all our statures. Oh, how pretty. Oh, how bad do I look. Oh, no, that's not what God. God is not impressed with that. God is impressed with your heart. As we get older and like teens, oh, I got to be worried. Oh, how I look. I got a pimple over here. Oh, you know, we get all concerned with that. But now God says, I don't care about that. I care about your heart. How do you see me? And guess what? God is going to promote you. He's going to put you places that you've never been before, that you'll never be. That other people will tell you, you'll never get there. I had an uncle who told me, don't go to the United States. Just stay here and help me. Because he was doing construction work. And I said, uncle, I can't do it. I need to go. God has called me to go to the United States, and I'm going there. He goes, what are you going to do? All those people that come back, with nothing. That's what he told me. I came to this country. God led me all the way through. At 17 years old, I started working in a restaurant. At 20, I was running the restaurant. 21, I came to Maryland. I got married. At 28, I started my own business. 20. That's 5 years later, at 27, I started my own business. Sold it, started another one. But just how God is with you. But we have to give in our heart to Him. Because if not, it's all for us. And believe me, when we don't give Him our time to Him, He will take from us as well. So He wants the best out of us. God doesn't want our junk. You know what I'm saying? He wants the best of us when we're young, and He wants it all. He doesn't want half and half. If we do that, we surrender to Him that way, guess what? Nothing can stop us. Okay, children? So as you go to school, remember, you're going to school for God, not for that teacher. You're going to school for God. Says, God, where am I going to go with this? Where are you going to place me with this? What am I going to become? What are you going to make me? It's your heart. Just follow your heart. Okay? Amen.